Broadcasting across the United States, Canada, and around the world, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Your host for the program is Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because life and truth matter. This is a live call-in program, so dial 888-ASK-HANK to ask your question now. Again, that's 888-275-4265. To start today's Bible Answer Man broadcast, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
And thank you very much, Randy. I do hope you enjoyed the last 3 days of programming while I was taking my chemo at the hospital, Carolina Medical Center. And we had a great venue for you. We had two shows, On a Meaningful World by Jonathan Witt and Ben Weicker, which I thought fit in very, very nicely with what we were talking about all last month when we talked about Darwin's dilemma, or the fact that Darwin had built a house of cards. We also, of course, had John Stonestreet on yesterday, and I think that was, again, a very important interview that I did with him before I went into the hospital. And it is an interview I did because I'm really interested in putting his book into your hands. It's titled A Practical Guide to Culture, Helping the Next Generation Navigate Today's World. That book, as well as we have an alternate book that you may be interested in, America at the Crossroads, Explosive Trends Shaping America's Future and What You Can Do About It by George Barna. Either one of those books available for those who want to support the ministry this month, and I hope many of you do. You can take a look at the books on the web at equip.org. You can also write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, our resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. As always, the number to dial to get your question answered live on today's broadcast, and I am alive and live in studio today, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. I want to start the broadcast with an article that I read. This is a August 2 article. It's a New York Post article, and it's titled, Millennials Are Choosing Pizza, push-ups, and video games over church. Lauren Stussy goes on to write that just 27 to 28% of people in their 20s and early 30s attend religious services regularly. And that is according to the latest figures from the Pew Research Center. In other words, there's a mass exodus of millennials out of the church. Lauren goes on to write that instead, millennials are now getting their spiritual fix from secular pursuits like fitness or like Facebook groups. Community-driven activities that create a sense of fellowship, that inspire meaningful reflection, and sometimes include, well, uplifting music. One example she gives with respect to fitness is Madison Blank, who grew up Jewish but now is a congregant in the Church of Sweat. Her favorite instructor, Holly, creates a spiritual atmosphere by combining calorie burning with enlightening encouragement. And she also says that the vibe of motivational support is intentional. The fitness trainer grew up Catholic but no longer practices the faith. Her students are mostly millennial, she says, and classes periodically end with members catching the feels and crying. Blank says that she's so emotionally enriched, she stopped going to synagogue regularly Fitness has allowed her to connect with her more inner self than sitting through a religious service. A great instructor provides spiritual guidance and builds a community. Of course, this is essentially what Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg declared when he said that social media is filling the void left by organized religion. So I suppose in the midst of all of that, we have to think very carefully and clearly about what church means. So often I say to people that he who aims at nothing invariably hits it. And so we have to know what we're looking for when we're looking for a healthy, well-balanced church, a church in which we can worship God and experience His graces through word and sacrament, a church in which we can have meaningful relationships with not video partners or partners in sweat, but meaningful relationships with people in the whole sphere of life. And ultimately, a context in which we learn to be able to communicate what we believe and why we believe it so that we can have an impact on the world, an impact that is desperately needed. Because when you think about what's going on today, we're talking about a decline in Christianity in America that is simply stunning. I remember the old statistics of a few years ago that we used to quote. If you think about the millennial generation, think about people that are 18 to 29 years of age. There are some 3.7 million of them, and 2.6 million will leave the church in that interim of time between 18 and 29, and the vast majority will never return. And then in his book, America at the Crossroads, George Barna points out that based on his research, and he's been doing this for a long time, he now assumes that there are 12 million fully devoted followers of Christ amid a nation of 245 million adults. But I think he puts a pretty good spin on this when you think about it. He says, do these 12 million constitute just a few grains of sand on the beach, virtually invisible among the great masses that are deaf to the voice of God, or do they represent the holy remnant that God will use to restore this wayward nation? And then here's what I was sort of saying, a great spin, and I don't mean in spin in a negative sense. I mean, he's asking the question, which is not the obvious question. I think there's only 12 million, but he says, can you envision the difference that 12 million people devoted to a great and holy cause could make? Do you want to be part of it and find out? So the statistics are not just to curse the darkness or make you aware of what's going on, but it's so that you can build a lighthouse in the midst of desperate times. And these are desperate times for America. No matter what topic you choose to examine, the deeper your evaluation goes, the more certain you can be that our nation is in trouble and heading in the wrong direction. And in the book, A Practical Guide to Culture, what I love about this book is John Stonestreet and Brett Kundle use very practical illustrations to point us to what the problems are. If you're thinking by way of analogy about Islam, the waves are the terrorist attacks. But there's also a rip current. And it's not as visible, but it's deadly. And I've often called that migration without assimilation, the python swallowing its prey with a long and slow digestion. But when you think about what's going on in our culture, there are waves, those things that we see that are very visible. They ring the alarm bells in our head. And then there are invisible currents that are doing enormous damage to millennial generation, but to our culture as a whole. And that's why this practical guide to culture, and it is very practical. The reason I'm excited about it, quite frankly, is my kids read it. And for example, my son David, I asked him, what do you think about this? He said, I think this is really a great book. Now, when he told me that he thought it was really a great book, I knew it was a really good book because he has very keen awareness and very keen tastes as well. So again, both of those books available for those who support the ministry all this month. And a reminder that the future doesn't just happen. It is created by people committed to envisioning and facilitating specific outcomes in society. So what is the key? As Stone Street and Kundal point out, the key is not simply to know what is coming, but to determine how to most intelligently and strategically respond to emerging circumstances. That is wisdom. And, you know, when I was in the hospital, I did a little Facebook Live, and I mentioned the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to discern the sayings of understanding, to receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and equity. And this is really what we're talking about. We need to know how to engage as Christians in wise behavior.
Yes, and I feel like part of the problem has been the church, for one reason or another, has not found their way into what you called pizza, what was it, pizza, you know, exercise and video games. Like, how can we engage in these things in a Christian manner? Like, what things are okay? And I feel like sometimes these conversations have not been had, and it's a classic case of, you know, the Pharisees when they looked at Jesus and they were like, why are you hanging out with these tax collectors? Why would you do that? And Jesus is like, why aren't you ministering to these people? My kingdom is of this world, and my kingdom is for this world, rather. And we're not doing those things, and so we're letting Mark Zuckerberg kind of sweep in where the church should be. I feel like the church has gotten insular, and it's about time that it kind of reaches out and finds how, you know, video games aren't necessarily bad in and of themselves. It depends on the video game. What is the purpose of the video game? Just like not any a book. Depends on what's in the book.
Yeah, that's a good point. In fact, I was looking at the same article. You mentioned the video games, and the author, Lauren, says that a guy named Alex, 22, grew up going to a Methodist church, loved the community and spiritual satisfaction it provided. Still, he left organized religion after high school, describing himself as spiritual but not religious. And now video games offer him the same solace, without the deep fear of going to hell. He says, by connecting him digitally to a community of other players, many of whom are his good friends. He goes on to say his favorite game is Witcher 3, and now has practically replaced the church as his spiritual guide. A quote, I still constantly find new ways to think about the issues I face in the real world, though the challenges in this game, Witcher 3, are very biblical, and you learn a lot about yourself. So he's got a video game, and video games are not bad in and of themselves, but they can't be a replacement for the body of Christ. And a video game will never allow you to partake of the uncreated energies of God. They will never allow you to partake of the graces by which we can become by grace what God is by nature.
No, that's very true. And I think that these conversations, like, kids like playing video games. You know, like, I remember I went to a church, and a lot of the high school boys, junior high boys, you could not get their attention. But what a lot of the counselors would do is they would take them over to their house. They would play Mario Kart, driving race cars. And through the video game, you were able to talk about deep spiritual issues, because their mind was kind of focused on them on something else. They weren't trying to, like, feeling embarrassed by showing something deep and personal. They were distracted by the video game. Oh, yeah, I think this about that. And they were able to relate to the kids that way. So I think finding ways to use video games and help the kids navigate, this is a good video game because of this. This is a bad video game because of this. You know, it's highly, you know, has a lot of killing, or there is something spiritual that's not necessarily good. And having the church engage with those things so that we show them that isn't a replacement, but it can be fine and good.
Yeah, and I think your point about connectivity, point you made earlier on, is very, very important as well. I mean, you cannot connect with the body of Christ or with people, flesh and blood people, apart from being intimately knit together with the bonds of love in a healthy, well-balanced church. And unfortunately, people are finding replacements for that, and those replacements will never satisfy. We are coming to station break. We'll be back on the other side of the break with answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Do remember the two books available all this month for those who support the ministry, A Practical Guide to Culture and America at the Crossroads, both barn burners. Check it out on the web, equip.org.
There's no doubt about it. The world is changing at a pace unprecedented in human history. In the midst of our busy lives, it can be difficult for Christians to find the time to outline what's really at stake and how to handle these uniquely modern issues. We get it. We're busy too. Yet understanding these issues is too important to overlook. And that's why this month, the Christian Research Institute is offering the strategic book, A Practical Guide to Culture, Helping the Next Generation Navigate Today's World. To receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go, on your phone or handheld device, with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day, or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. Waves aren't subtle. When you get hit by one, you know it. But beneath the surface, there are powerful currents that are not as easily detectable. Sometimes we're completely unaware of them until it's too late. The authors of A Practical Guide to Culture understand the cultural waves and currents of today. Waves are obvious issues pounding away at the Christian worldview, such as gender fluidity, casual sex, and pornography. Subtle undercurrents are issues such as the information age, identity, and perpetual adolescence. Being aware of these issues and how to address them is vitally important. Receive your copy of A Practical Guide to Culture as our appreciation for your financial partnership. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. From the outside, Houston preacher Joel Osteen is charming, attractive, and his teaching, well, it makes you feel good. But the truth is, Osteen preaches a seductive and highly dangerous form of Christianity that's leading millions of people astray. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has written a book called The Osteenification of American Christianity. And it's why you must get your own copy today. You must be able to defend yourself with truth about what Joel Osteen really teaches. And this important resource arms you with everything you need to do so. Please call today and request your copy of The Osteenification of American Christianity, 888-7000-CRI. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. In an environment that is increasingly hostile to Christianity, it is of critical importance that we equip ourselves and those we love with a foundational understanding of the uniquely modern issues of our time and how to address them from a sound Christian perspective. That's why this month the Christian Research Institute is offering the strategic resource, A Practical Guide to Culture, helping the next generation navigate today's world. To receive a copy of the book as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and I would be remiss if I did not thank the many people that have been praying for me. I took a pretty heavy dose of chemo these last 3 days, and quite frankly, I was kind of warned by my physicians, my healthcare advocates, people that are helping me, and people that have gone through the process that this would knock me out for a while, and I feel totally sustained, energetic, and I don't know, Christine, I don't know of any other explanation other than the fact that I have so many thousands of people that are praying for me.
Yeah, and we have a guy named Nicholas saying, considering Hank's current life challenges, what possible motive could he focus on but peace, love, and his communion with his Maker?
You know, I like the last part of that, communion with my Maker, ordering your life around the divine. I mean, it's made all the difference in the world to have your focus on what Augustine called the city of God as opposed to having your feet firmly planted in the city of man. So a change of perspective makes all the difference in the world. In fact, I just was in the hospital again today. I had to take a shot to boost my white blood count, which is very natural after taking the chemo regimens that I just did the last 3 days. And I was sharing with the nurse the reasons that I was enveloped in a blanket of peace. At any rate, we had a little conversation. She was so encouraged by the conversation when we got done. Well, she got done poking me. She said, "Can I give you a hug?" And then she told me that she was going to start praying for me as well. So I am blessed by the prayers of many people. Let's go to the phone lines. Talk to, oh, by the way, the number to call, 888-ASK-HANK, a little out of practice here. 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. First up, Mary Ann, listening in Langley, British Columbia, Canada, CHRB. Hi, Mary Ann.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
Sorry to hear that you've been ill, and I do trust the Lord will continue to sustain you. My question is, when a married couple breaks up due to adultery, is the adulterer free biblically to remarry? He's claiming to be a Christian?
Let me give you the answer that is the ultimate thing we ought to focus on. And that is that marriage is parabolic. It is parabolic of Christ and the church. And if Christ has forgiven us an incalculable debt, how can we fail to offer that forgiveness to others? So the ideal circumstance is to always seek reconciliation. Now, obviously, reconciliation takes two people. It takes someone who is willing to forgive and someone who is wanting to be forgiven. Without both parties, reconciliation or forgiveness does not take place. So the operative word is we should always be willing to forgive. Now, if someone walks away from the marriage and irrevocably closes the door to reconciliation through marriage to someone else, then that possibility of reconciliation, at least in a marital sense, is not there. You can still reconcile on a human level. But a couple of things from a biblical perspective. I mean, God gives us the possibilities for divorce because of the hardness of our heart. But in the beginning, it was not so. In the beginning, the idea was a man leaves his father and his mother, he clings to his wife, and the two become one flesh. And what God has put together, no one should think about separating. This is an inviolate bond between two people, and again, parabolic. It is a picture, as it were, of a living picture of Christ in the church. Now, a couple of things that we should see in the writings of the Apostle Paul. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7, Paul tells his audience, and vicariously us, that if an unbeliever wants to stay in a relationship, the believer must not leave. However, if the unbeliever leaves, the believer is not bound in that circumstance. And there are many things, if you look at them critically, would rise to the level of adultery and become a grounds for divorce if they are continuous and unrepentant. And we did an article in the Christian Research Journal. It's called Biblical Grounds for Divorce and Remarriage, which you can find on the web at equip.org, which kind of fills in the blanks. But those are the basic parameters, at least.
Okay, so forgiveness then is the goal. So if, like, I have a person who's getting married tomorrow and asked us to come, and he is the adulterer, and we've been torn and as to whether to go or not to go.
Well, it's a tough one.
It is.
It's a tough one. And you know, we actually did an article in the Christian Research Journal on that as well. I mean, it was a slightly different spin, but the same basic idea. And there's a pro-con to it. I mean, the pro idea to going is that you continue the relationship and the opportunity to reach. There's a con to it, if you will, in that it tacitly acknowledges a marriage when you feel strongly based on biblical parameters that this marriage is not best either for the two people, for the church, or for the culture at large.
So basically it comes down to your talking to the Lord and what freedom the Lord gives you?
Well, I think so. I mean, I think that there are principles here, and it's not as though this is just a personal idea. But the reason I'm pointing it out is that there are strong Christians on both sides of the issue, and they have very well-reasoned arguments. The article that I'm talking about is titled, Should Christians Attend Same-Sex Weddings? Again, the pro is that, yeah, I would say yes to the invitation. The con is, absolutely, I would not. I can't attend. Because in doing that, I am lending credibility to something that should not be lent credibility to. It's illegitimate. A marriage between a man and a man, a woman and a woman, is not legitimate in that marriage has always been an institution that is God-ordained between a man and a woman. And that's not just a spiritual paradigm, although it most certainly is, but it's also a sociological paradigm in that a gender-differentiated parenting is best for children, for the rearing of children. So it has ramifications for society as a whole. But that article, I think the principles in it will help you grapple with this as opposed to me telling you what to do one way or the other, which I'm sure you're not looking for, but it'll help you think through this.
Okay. Thank you.
So both of those articles are on the web at equip.org.
Yeah, I read the one and I came out still confused.
Oh, which one?
But I didn't read Should I Attend the Wedding.
Oh, okay. I think that's the one you need to read.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll do that. Thank you very much.
You got it, Marianne. And a Facebook question that I've been dying to answer. It's from Michael, who writes, Dear Hank, I understand that a first century Roman dictator placed a statue in the Jewish temple. I was wondering, when the Antichrist arrives, will he also put his image in the temple and make them worship it? And then a postscript, I wish you well. Please get well, Hank. Thank you, Michael. Interesting about that question is we so often hear about the Antichrist as though there's going to be a particular Antichrist that arises in the 21st century. And the truth of the matter is the word Antichrist is only used by John in his epistles. And when he does, he says that already many Antichrists have come. And then he defines Antichrist as anyone who says that Jesus Christ has not come in the flesh is Antichrist. So throughout all epochs of time, there have been antichrists in that sense. Now, certainly when John was writing, and we see this in the book of Revelation, there were particular antichrists, those who were noteworthy because of their evil. The greatest evil being is that they were parodies of Christ. And those noteworthy characters in the epicenter of a Caesar cult were emperors. Emperors who said to the people, you must worship me not only as Savior, but as Lord. In other words, they took the very monikers we attribute to Christ and now wanted those monikers attributed to themselves. So Paul, writing in the first century, was referring to someone in his own context of time. And we know that historically to be Caligula, one of the Roman emperors who was a megalomaniac. And he tried to install an enormous statue of himself in the temple so as to bring worship to himself. He was murdered before the whole process took place, but he tried to do that. So Paul has this in his active consciousness as he talks about a man of evil who is going to appear on the scene and create huge, devastating consequences, not only for Jerusalem and the temple, but for the people of God, not only for the prostituted bride, but also for the perfected bride who was going to suffer for a long time, but whose vindication would be 1,000 years. In other words, would be an eternal vindication. So Paul talks about that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. I think the biggest error that we are facing, or certainly one of the biggest errors we're facing today, is people who are attempting to pin the tail on a 21st century Antichrist. And they do that by imposing their paradigms on Scripture as opposed to doing what all of us should be doing, and that is learning to read the Bible for all it's worth. We're learning to read the Bible in the sense in which it's intended. The first principle, of course, is that when you read a book like the book of Revelation, you should immediately know that that book was not written to you. It's written to seven churches in the epicenter of a Caesar cult. Now, it was written for you, but wasn't written to you any more than Romans was written to you. It was written to Roman believers in a first century context. And once you get the historical principle straight in your mind, a lot of things start to make sense. We'll be right back.
Waves aren't subtle, but beneath the surface, there are powerful currents that are not as easily detectable. Sometimes we're completely unaware of them until it's too late. The authors of A Practical Guide to Culture understand the cultural waves and currents of today. Waves are obvious issues pounding away at the Christian worldview, such as gender fluidity, casual sex, and pornography. Subtle undercurrents are issues such as the information age, identity, and perpetual adolescence. Being aware of these issues and how to address them is vitally important, which is why we want to put into your hands A Practical Guide to Culture. To receive your copy of the book as our appreciation for your financial partnership, Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man. The battle for authentic Christianity has never been more intense. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has written a book called The Osteenification of American Christianity. As the title suggests, Osteenification is nothing short of the wholesale transformation of American, indeed global, Christianity. It is the prime provocateur of a seductive brand of Christianity that reduces God to a means to our ends and beckons multitudes to the table of the Master. Not for the love of the Master, but for what is on the table. You need to defend yourself and those you love against these insidious teachings. Please call today to request The Osteenification of American Christianity. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Waves aren't subtle. When you get hit by one, you know it. But beneath the surface, there are powerful currents that are not as easily detectable. Sometimes we're completely unaware of them until it's too late. The authors of A Practical Guide to Culture understand the cultural waves and currents of today. Waves are obvious issues pounding away at the Christian worldview, such as gender fluidity, casual sex, and pornography. Subtle undercurrents are issues such as the information age, identity, and perpetual adolescence. Being aware of these issues and how to address them is vitally important. Receive your copy of A Practical Guide to Culture as our appreciation for your financial partnership. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. C.S. Lewis said that the most dangerous ideas in a society are not the ones that are being argued, but the ones that are assumed. The authors of A Practical Guide to Culture, Helping the Next Generation Navigate Today's World, understand the issues facing society today and have clearly outlined them to show Christians what's at stake and why we need to be change agents to impact the culture for Christ. To receive your copy of the book, A Practical Guide to Culture, as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Yeah, but what you're just saying about support for those who do support the ministry already but have not joined CRI's monthly support team, love to encourage you to do that. When you do, be pleased to personalize any one of my books to you, a family member, or a friend. You can check it out on the web at equip.org. The quote of the day comes from T.S. Eliot. He was a very important 20th century poet. He won the Nobel Prize for Literature 2 years before I was born, 1948. And the quote of the day comes from him. And I think what's interesting about this is he wrote this 8 decades before the decade we're living in. So think about the relevance of that 8 decades ago and how much more it is true today than it was when he actually penned these words. And again, the quote of the day by T.S. Eliot is, "The endless cycle of idea and action, endless invention, endless experiment brings knowledge of motion, but not a stillness. Knowledge of speech, but not a silence. Knowledge of words and ignorance of the word. All our knowledge brings us nearer to death, but nearness to death, not nearness to God. Where is the life we have lost in living? Where is the wisdom we have lost in knowledge? Where is the knowledge we have lost in information?" You know, every age has its own moniker. You think about the Industrial Revolution or the Roaring Twenties, or think back to the Middle Ages. Today, we're said to live in what's called the Information Age. And people can access information at staggering rates. But with the information, there is also a precipitous decline in understanding, which is to say, there's a huge decline in the ability to process information, to be able to think critically about the information that we're reading. It's one of the reasons that fake news gets around as well as it does, because people don't have discernment skills. I got a particular letter today from someone who was telling me about something that they read at the web. And when you read that, you immediately should have alarm bells going off, because it's very clearly untrue. It's fake. And yet people oftentimes buy into that which is fake because they don't understand discernment. And discernment is critical in an age of information overload. Again, T.S. Eliot gave this quote more than 8 decades ago. And his point was that we shouldn't confuse information with knowledge or knowledge with wisdom. I often say that wisdom is the application of knowledge, and that, of course, speaks to the whole area of discernment skills. One of the reasons I use that particular quote today is because it comes from A Practical Guide to Culture. It's one of the epigraphs in the book written by John Stonestreet and Brett Kunkel. I got to make sure I pronounce that right, Brett. Helping the next generation navigate today's world. You know, your name, Brett Kunkel, is not all that hard to pronounce. You should try Hanegraaff sometimes. A Practical Guide to Culture, and also the other book that we have available, interesting book, America at the Crossroads, Explosive Trends Shaping America's Future, What You Can Do About It by George Barna. I think you've just about finished George Barna's book. You like that one?
I am halfway through it. I do like it because I think it it really gives us a picture of what exactly is kind of the landscape that we're dealing with in America. Like, you can't really know how to tackle something unless you know what that something is. And so being able to grapple with these facts, is such as like how many people that are really church going and how many people are like, what's the predominant political viewpoint, will help us in knowing how to engage the culture and how to ask the questions that are necessary to get people kind of in a direction that we would like them to go.
Yeah, how we can be effective witnesses.
Mm-hmm. And we have a Facebook question that I think is particularly interesting. You want to do that now, right?
Sure.
Okay, we have a fascinating Facebook question from Oliver, asking, why wouldn't the genealogy lists in the Bible be accurate in telling us how long humans have been on the earth?
Yeah, well, I've answered that question a number of times on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, and I think the big mistake that people make in this regard is to think that genealogies are a sequential. But if you look at genealogies in the Bible, again, discernment tells you immediately that they're not sequential, they're symmetrical. In other words, they're deliberately arranged for a purpose. And you certainly see that in the book of Genesis with 10 genealogical constructions on one side of the flood and 10 on the other. That's a kind of a giveaway. You see this in Matthew's gospel, 14:14:14. That's not gratuitous. It is a way of arranging the genealogies so that they equate to the name of King David, Israel's quintessential king. So I think it's important to recognize the difference between sequential and symmetrical. I also think it is critical for us to not use genealogies in order to figure out how old the universe is or how old the world within the universe is, because the Bible is not intended to answer that question. It's not chronologically giving us an answer to that question. It's about chirology. It's about God's purposes in creation. If you want to find out how old the universe is or how old Earth is, there are other markers that you can look at, and those markers are found in a second book, if you will, a book that we call the Book of Nature. And there is a book of knowledge and there's a book of nature, and both of them are discussed in one of the longest Psalms in the Bible. So you can see those books. One is special revelation, and the other is general revelation. General revelation is very, very important because God has left his imprimatur on the universe that he has placed us in. And of course, that's particularly true with you and I as human beings. He's left his imprimatur on us as human beings. We're made in the imago Dei, in the image and likeness of God, and that makes all the difference in the world. Another Facebook question from Ruth. I know the Old Testament prohibits eating pork, but does the New Testament also prohibit eating pork?
No bacon?
Nope.
What?
No bacon. Yeah, I mean, what's interesting about this is you can eat your bacon if it's healthy for you. I mean, this is one of the things my wife is trying
true.
To get me to eat healthy things, and so are you. I mean, it's one of the reasons you came back from Hong Kong, just to make sure that I'm eating healthy. It's why you make me drink a green drink, which mm-hmm. I just found out through some friends that have gone through cancer. Is a very good thing to do. So I'm really thankful for that green drink now, although it does taste like bark. But let's talk about the pork. You could eat it. Maybe it's not best for you to eat it for physical reasons or dietary reasons. However, for spiritual reasons, we should not abstain. Jesus Christ made clear in the New Testament, it is not what goes into a man's mouth and out through his belly that defiles him. It is what proceeds from the heart. And what's interesting about that is Mark appends the words to this. In saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean. So what's the takeaway from that? The takeaway from that is that in the Old Testament, there were civil and ceremonial laws. Those civil and ceremonial laws were fulfilled in Jesus Christ. The reason we don't go back to those laws is if we do, it's a failure that Jesus Christ has come to fulfill, not abolish, but to fulfill. I did not come to abolish the law and the prophets, Jesus said. I came to fulfill them. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen will disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. So again, this is not an abolishment of the law. We recognize through the civil and ceremonial law that Christ has fulfilled them. And therefore, we should never, ever go back to the type when the antitype or the fulfillment has come. Now, there are a lot of people that are doing that today. There are a lot of people that are trying to make us wed ourselves to Old Testament prescriptions when Christ has already come. Well, what's dangerous about that? Well, the writer of Hebrews says what's dangerous about that is that that is tantamount to trampling upon the very sacred blood of Jesus Christ. And people do that in all kinds of ways. I mean, there are people today who believe that we should build another temple, that there'll be a third temple in the tribulation, there'll be a fourth temple in the millennial. And it's an outrageous thought when you think that a temple not built by human hands has come, that the ultimate sacrificial lamb has given his life for the sins of the world, and therefore to go back to temple, priest, and sacrifice is an outrage. And Christ made that clear when he walked this earth, because there were people who did not want to recognize that he was the living temple. And we, of course, are stones in that temple. He is the head, but we're stones in that temple, living stones in the temple of God. The kind of language that the Old Testament uses for the priests is now being used for believers. We're called a priesthood of all believers. We're called living stones in the temple of God. What an outrage to go back to luminous limestone or glistening gold when the ultimate sacrificial lamb has come. And that is the central narrative of all of the scripture, that Christ came, and that through Christ we can find salvation, and even beyond that, we can find true union with God, fellowship in the Trinity, the very thing that we have been created for. Well, we're out of time for this week's programming. Next week, we will be taking a lot of calls right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So do remember the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, and numerically 888-275-4265. Also going to be doing some Facebook Lives next week and a whole lot more. If you haven't listened to Hank Unplugged, the podcast, check it out on the web at equip.org or wherever you consume your favorite podcast. We're out of time. See you next time with more of the show.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and live Christianly. And that's why this month Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you the strategic resource, A Practical Guide to Culture, Helping the New Generation Navigate Today's World. To receive a copy of this vital book as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches, 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271, or visit online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. From the outside, Houston preacher Joel Osteen is charming, attractive, and his teaching, well, it makes you feel good. But the truth is, Osteen preaches a seductive and highly dangerous form of Christianity that's leading millions of people astray. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has written a book called The Osteenification of American Christianity. And it's why you must get your own copy today. You must be able to defend yourself with truth about what Joel Osteen really teaches. And this important resource arms you with everything you need to do so. Please call today and request your copy of The Osteenification of American Christianity, 888-7000-CRI. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Waves aren't subtle. When you get hit by one, you know it. But beneath the surface, there are powerful currents that are not as easily detectable. Sometimes we're completely unaware of them until it's too late. The authors of A Practical Guide to Culture understand the cultural waves and currents of today. Waves are obvious issues pounding away at the Christian worldview, such as gender fluidity, casual sex, and pornography. Subtle undercurrents are issues such as the information age, identity, and perpetual adolescence. Being aware of these issues and how to address them is vitally important. Receive your copy of A Practical Guide to Culture as our appreciation for your financial partnership. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.